Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Rick Graff. According to the American Pie Council, because there is such a thing, pies have been around since ancient Egyptian times. Now, they really came into fashion thanks to the Romans, who published the very first pie recipe in recorded history, which, if you're curious, was a recipe for rye-crusted goat cheese and honey pie. Actually, doesn't sound that bad. Sounds pretty good. We've come a long way since then. Pies have become the quintessential American dessert, and we're betting you might like to enjoy some pie this holiday season. So whether you're baking it, eating it, or hitting someone in the face with it, you can do that. Not recommended. We have a pie expert in the studio to answer your questions today. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly featured in the Times Union and all over Albany. She's also the author of the blog Silly Goose Farm and a great follow on Twitter, I might add. She teaches culinary classes around Albany. So what's your favorite kind of pie? Are you planning to bake? You want to share some recipes or some tips or ask a question? Now's the time to call. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, welcome.
Thank you.
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yes.
And you brought pie.
I did. I brought a few.
You know, Jessica and I have been reading up on the history of pies.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this whole business going back to the 1300s, 1400s, where they would put live animals in pies?
No, I've never heard of such a thing.
So you've not done this?
I've never done this.
So that song, you know, 4 and 20 blackbirds. Baked into a pie.
Sure.
Well, apparently, way back when, the royalty, France and England and whatnot, they thought it was pretty cute to have live critters fly out of the pies. And so they would. There are recipes that you can go back and see how to bake live critters into a pie that will pop out and impress your guests.
They wouldn't die in the heat? They would still be alive?
This is my question. I don't know how they did it, but there are all these documented accounts. Charles I of England. Here's the weirdest one. And by the way, if you want to swap some strange pie stories, 1-800-348-2551. Strangest one we came up with. Charles I of England married to Queen Henrietta Maria. She was 15, but that was the 1600s, I believe. So they loved pie, and they loved a good laugh. So they're going around England and just traveling, and their hosts thought it would be hilarious to bake a huge pie for Queen Henrietta, and a little person popped out of the pie. True.
Oh my goodness.
And he became, and I'm not, this is what they called him, the Queen's dwarf for 18 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't
that something? Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So that's my pie story. What's your pie story?
I don't have any that are that good.
No?
No.
But you brought some good stuff. What'd you bring?
Well, we have a classic chocolate pie with some whipped cream on top.
Okay.
We have a pecan pie with chocolate chips and maple syrup and bourbon.
Oh.
I brought some savory hand pies that have pumpkin and goat cheese inside.
Mm.
And people don't really think of like pie being savory, but you can do tons with savory pie. And then an apple pie with cheddar cheese in the crust, because where I come from, and I know some people out here do it as well, you never serve apple pie without a slice of cheddar cheese. So this just eases the step and the preparation a little bit by putting the cheese right in the pie.
And we do that too. And so is that a Northeastern thing?
I think it's like a Pennsylvania Dutch thing.
Yeah. It's really good.
It is.
If the cheese is good, you don't put Velveeta on.
No, it's going to be really good cheddar cheese.
So you bake the cheese right into the pie?
Yes.
Right into the crust?
Yes.
Okay, and you made an interesting and telling comment before we started the show that when you make a cake, you can sort of taste as you go along.
Yes.
But when you make a pie, in most cases, what you don't know if you've done it right until you've done it.
That's right. So when you're making a cake, you can make like a little cupcake on the side to test it.
Yeah.
Or cookies, you can try one, pretty much anything else. But pie is kind of, this is it. You never really know if you got it right until you actually cut the whole thing open try it.
I'm not really a betting man. Well, I am a betting man sometimes. And I'll bet you that these came out pretty well. The pecan chocolate bourbon pie looks just incredible.
It smells good. It smells boozy, which is always a good sign.
That's a good point. Deanna Fox is our guest. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. What's the secret to making a great pie? You were here. We did a show on gravy or something long ago. And you
peaches.
Were, peaches. That's
yeah.
right. Peaches. Gravy, peaches. But you're famous for some of your desserts. And what's the secret to making a great pie?
Well, I think the first thing is you can't be rushed when you do it. If you're just trying to slapdash together a pie, just don't bother, because you're going to, I think anything generally, if you have to do it rushed and at the last minute and you're doing it out of obligation
yeah.
more than out of love, it's just never going to taste good. It's going to taste like anxiety and frustration. So
that
just
is,
be.
I got to tell you, that is the second time I have heard that this in the last week.
Yeah, it's true.
My wife made deviled eggs.
Yes.
And she said they didn't come out too well because I was angry when I made it.
Yes.
Although, how can this be?
If you're angry about something or frustrated, I recommend bread, because you can just knead it and get out all your aggression and punch it out, and then you're good.
They tasted good to me, though.
Yeah.
I mean, does it take a fine taste bud to figure out, well, Deanna was really not happy when she made the chocolate pie?
Well, you can just tell. Like, things just don't, they're not as beautiful or as precise as maybe you'd like them to be. But other than that, besides just, you know, putting a lot of thought into what you're making, is just keep, you know, the same things most people hear about pie. When you're making your crust, keep everything cold.
Yeah.
Make sure your oven temp is calculated. Make sure, if you have, you can buy one of those little thermometers to keep in your oven to make sure that your oven temperature is true. Because a lot of times, even a 25-degree difference or swing can set your pie off.
So in other words, if you're following a recipe and it says 375,
mm-hmm.
it better be 375. And what you're alluding to is that some ovens may not be accurately calibrated.
Right. Even a really great, expensive, top-of-the-line, every oven can go out of calibration. So, yeah. But that's something that's easily fixed. Just buy one of those $2 thermometers and put that in.
All right. Well, let's take a call here, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll have some pie.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's go to Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian, you're on.
Ray.
Yes.
Let's have some mincemeat pie. I want your guest to elaborate on the history and what's available. I work for Hannaford. We don't stock any mincemeat pies in our bakery, but we do have mincemeat, which actually has some meat in it. Your guest probably knows way more than I do. So let's let her take it over.
This is a good, this is great.
It's a holiday favorite, right?
I hear you, man. All right, what do we got?
Well, you know, I've never made a traditional mincemeat pie.
With
and I
meat.
Feel like most people don't, because they're usually terrible. People don't like them. Some people do.
Venison or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But modern mincemeat pies usually use like a dried fruit or a raisin or something. And you can even buy, you can find canned.
Jarred.
Yeah. Mincemeat. Faux
mincemeat.
With apples
and yeah. raisins and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you want it with the meat in it, Adrian?
I've read the label on some of our mincemeat products. It's on the shelf in our bakery aisle. And there is actually some meat in there.
Really?
And it sounds crazy. You know, I don't know.
Does it just say meat, or is it more specific?
Now, I don't know. It doesn't refer to any particular meat, but I just wonder whether your guest had any insights into mincemeat as opposed to raisin pie, because, you know, a lot of the restaurants and whatnot this time of year, they'll offer raisin pie as a holiday thing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but not mincemeat.
Yeah, I think just mincemeat has fallen out of favor, and people just don't traditional mincemeat with actual meat in it.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
that people realize that. That's how it started. That's the real thing.
And then not mince, but quince. Q-U-I-N-C-E. Quince. That's an unusual fruit pie, and that's a holiday thing. Maybe you've heard of that. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. It's another oddball.
Right. Quince is tough because it has such a short season when it's available,
yeah.
and it's hard to find.
Right.
A lot of orchards locally don't really produce it. So people who do find it, they're usually picking it up to make jelly or membrillo, which is like a quince paste. But, yeah, quince pie isn't something that's very common. You don't really see that.
Yeah.
Way to
well,
go, Adrian.
We love the unusual here at WMC.
Well,
take it away, right?
Nicely done. You sure do. Nice call to start us off. Had a mince pie at Thanksgiving. Really? And again, it was, I believe it was from a jar my sister-in-law made. It was amazing.
Was it good?
Yeah, it really was. And then I got thinking about how meat would actually play out in that, real meat.
Yeah.
There's some sausage or something in there.
Yeah, no, it's usually just like shredded or chopped up meat, and it's usually like ends. It's not something, it's not like a prime cut of meat. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the savory pies, and in researching this, because Jessica and I actually did, really it started with not sweet pies. So the first cherry pie going back into England in the 15, 1600s, but it was always meat and and things like that.
Yep.
1-800-348-2551. Yeah, that's it, Zach. We'll take a break, and then we'll eat some pie. We'll take some calls. It's all good. Deanna Fox is here.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Saratoga County Tourism, celebrating the holiday season in historic downtown Saratoga Springs, featuring boutiques, galleries, gift shops, dining, entertainment, events, and more. ilovesaratoga.us. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop. And Ackerman's Appliance, Hudson. For 37 years, a locally owned dealer of appliance brands such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Blue Star, Bosch, and more. Showroom on Warren Street, Ackerman'sAppliance.net.
Everybody, the pie's really good. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Deanna Fox is here. We talk pie on a Food Friday. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, who always seems to appear when the food is about to be served, is also here. And Jess is eating a piece of your homemade chocolate pie. Oh, we got to turn her mic on, Zach. That'll be great. The guest has a mic. There you go. So what's in the chocolate pie? Pudding?
Yeah, it's just a chocolate pudding, essentially. It's milk, cornstarch, some egg yolks, a little salt, chocolate. And this is not cocoa powder, like you would see in a lot of chocolate pudding recipes, but actual baking chocolate. That's pretty much it.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I'll be trying that one. But right now I'm trying something which, when we talked about doing this show about a month ago, you said, what pie do you want? And I just came up with three ingredients I liked. Chocolate, pecan, and booze.
Yeah.
And so what is this? Because it's amazing.
Yeah, it's basically a pecan pie recipe, but instead of using corn syrup, it uses maple syrup. Mm. And it has some bourbon in it, and it has chocolate.
It's really good. Are you having any? Are you going to join us?
I will.
All right, good. Yeah. By all means. And I'll take a call here at 1-800-348-2551. While Deanna cuts the pie, I'll say hello to Emily in Plainfield. Hi, Emily.
Hello. I couldn't resist calling when I heard someone asking about what's in a traditional mincemeat recipe.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. She'll cut
the... Because it's my partner, Michael Patilli, his family had a recipe. And years ago, he got a hankering to make this, and it involved getting beef tongue and suet and raisins and candied fruit. And I mean, he made a huge amount of this that he put in a tofu bucket. And he doesn't drink. I'll drink some wine and enjoy it, et cetera. But he bought, rye, I think, and bourbon. And he one of those grinders you bolt to the kitchen table. It was like this huge Dr. Frankenfrein affair. And he... This was like this valued family recipe, and he's grinding up this stuff, and then every day he'd come and he'd add a little more booze, and it had a sort of ferment for a month, and it was just unbelievable.
So it was good. I thought the punchline was we all hated it.
Well, I actually can't eat the stuff. His family seems to have cast iron constitutions, and we gave some away to folks who made pies with it, and they said it was great, but when I tasted it, it didn't do me too well, but I just couldn't resist. I mean, I remember beef tongue, literally, was one of the ingredients.
Right. Well, as long as it's not talking to you, it's okay.
But I just figured I'd share that because somebody was curious. That the real recipe has all kinds of strange stuff in it.
You know, I'm just glad that Deanna didn't bring that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I won't eat it, but it's a treasured family recipe in his family.
Well, thank you, Emily. Deanna?
Yeah, usually I think that's a lot with traditional pies. It's just the, first of all, what's available. The pie is very indicative of the region or the part of the world that it comes from. And just the scraps that nobody would use for anything else, kind of like a stew. So, yes, beef tongue,
it
was a way to use up. Yep. If they weren't using it to put into like a sausage or something, definitely into a pie.
Yep.
Well, thanks a lot for the call.
All right. Enjoy more tasty pies than I thought that was.
Oh, thank you. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm rubbing it in because you at home can't actually eat this. I got to say this pecan chocolate pie, it's amazing.
It's good.
Yeah, it came out well. Now, you tried it.
I'm going to right now.
Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Apprehension.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Lois in Delmar. Lois.
Hi there. I called about the same time as your last caller, I guess, but she's in front of me. But I have to add to the conversation since that's how you got started. I don't know why they even call them minced meat pies anymore if they have no meat in them. I think it's a misnomer. But my mom in New Hampshire used to wait until one of her friends who liked to go deer hunting would bring her some venison.
Yeah.
And she would grind that up and put it with raisins and dried fruits. And it was a sweet. It was not, you know, it didn't taste like a stew. It was good. And she canned it so that we had it, you know, from season to season.
Not a bad idea.
It's a family treasure for our family because my mom died 7 years ago or 8 years ago, and my sister told me she's got the last jar of mom's mincemeat. And so we're all saying, well, could you make 3 small pies maybe?
How long will it keep in the jar? Is 7 years too long?
And I don't think it's, no. I hope it's okay still. I should encourage my sister not to keep it any longer, I guess.
I think as long as it was pressure canned at home with the two-part lid, as long as the lid hasn't popped up and you don't see any bubbles forming around at the top surface, it's probably okay.
Cool.
And where is the pie shop that you're at, Deanna?
Oh, no. I'm not a pie maker. I'm a writer and a
teacher.
Cooking school teacher. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we can't get one of those pies that you're sharing.
No way. Unless you get your own radio show. Thanks.
So we'll have to get you your book and get the recipe.
Thanks, Lois.
Thank you.
And, of course, you can go to the blog, and you have recipes and such on your blog at times, yeah?
Right, and I think all the recipes from today are on the WAMC website as well.
Perfect, and that's WAMC.org. If you search Food Friday or go to the Vox Pop page, you can find all of this information as well as links to Deanna's blog. And, well, you do quite a bit of work with all around Albany.
All over Albany.
Yeah, all over Albany. And boozing it up in general, tasting things and...
I have a great job.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, let's go to Michael in Troy. Michael.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
So far, really, really good.
I think you guys struck gold with the mincemeat thing here, because that's I got something about that, too.
All right, what do you got?
So I heard Adrian call in, and he said there was meat in the mincemeat that Hannaford sells.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I just made mince pies the first time, I don't know, probably about 2 weeks ago. And I'm looking at the ingredient list, because we're all joking about it. Like, oh, this, you know, it's full of apples and raisins. Where's the meat? And I'm looking at the ingredients list, and, like, the second thing from the end is just beef.
Is it
like,
beef?
Okay, so they're beef, yeah.
All right, well.
So I'm thinking, okay, so there is some kind of meat in there.
Yeah, it doesn't say prime cuts, USDA. It just says sort of. Whatever's left, right?
I, you know, I'd like to think that it's not as bad as it sounds, but you never know.
You bring up a good point, because vegetarians who might say, "Well, I can do this. This is apples and raisins and spices," might want to look at the ingredients. That's a good point.
Yeah. So they ended up being really, really good, though. I made 30. They're small pies, right? They're like in cupcake tins. You take them. I made 36 the day before Thanksgiving. And I had like a few left on Thanksgiving because I was home with all my family.
Mm-hmm.
And they ate them right up. And then I made another 36 on Black Friday, and they were gone by Sunday.
Wow. Wow. 72 pies. That's good work.
Yeah, and it was fun. I'd never rolled out a dough before like that for a pie anyway. Or I guess I didn't realize what was involved, but...
Right. You actually make a really good point, Michael. You said that you made it a day before. And the nice thing about pies is that you can make them ahead of time. So I think pie is actually better, especially like a fruit-filled pie that has a filling that kind of needs to set up, or a cream pie. You can make it like a day to even 3 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
And some pies you can actually freeze. If you make a fruit-filled pie, like an apple or a blueberry or a peach, you can make the whole pie and either freeze it before you bake it, or bake it and then freeze it. You can do the same with like pre-baked pie shells, or the only thing you really can't freeze is like a cream pie, or anything like a pecan pie will freeze okay, but a pumpkin pie, like a lemon chiffon or a chocolate pie, the filling just gets a little weird after it kind of separates almost.
But yeah, you can buy frozen pumpkin pie right in the supermarket,
right.
And that's not the same as a real true pumpkin pie.
I mean, it might just have like a stabilizer or something in it to keep it from coagulating and getting a little weird.
Well, I know with like other fruits, like they always tell you, like, if you're going to brew beer and you're going to put fruit in the beer, you should freeze it first because it breaks down the cell walls and it makes it easier to absorb the sugars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend, Deanna, putting the pie together and not baking it and freezing it, or baking it and then freezing it? What would you prefer?
Personally, I prefer to make it and then freeze it for two reasons. One, it's easier. You don't have to worry about if you're rushing around, you have a dinner party or guests coming, you just have the pie ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, a lot of people have a problem with their bottom crust getting a little bit soggy when they have a fruit pie. And when you freeze it and then you put it in the oven, the way that it bakes, it doesn't absorb as much of the moisture from the fruit. So it keeps it... crunchier and crispier, and it doesn't really absorb the liquid.
That's great. And thanks for the call, Michael. We appreciate it very much. So let's talk about the crust. This crust is amazing. I am assuming you made this from scratch.
Yes. Pie crust is not hard.
But do you ever buy the pre-made that you see already fashioned in a dish?
No. When I first started making pie, so I grew up next to somebody who was a fantastic pie baker, and she made all the pies for our church functions and town hall meetings and fire department bake sales. She was fantastic. Her name mm-hmm. was Mrs. Stiles. And I watched her make hundreds of pies, and I always thought that I would just pick it up because she did it so easily. And then when I moved away and she wasn't there to teach me, I completely failed at pie over and over and over again. And my crust would come out good and the filling would be terrible, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So I tried buying either the refrigerated pie dough or something. And it just was never the same. It doesn't have the same taste. It's not flaky. It's not as mm-hmm. flaky. It's kind of a thinner end product. So my pie dough recipe is pretty easy. It's 2 1/4 cup of flour. Sometimes I use pastry flour, but a lot of times it'll just be all-purpose. 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/3 cup, which is 5 1/3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1/3 cup plus 1 tablespoon of shortening, and 5 to 7 tablespoons of ice water. And
so
that's it.
Shortening and butter.
Yes.
Why kosher salt and not something else? Sea salt or whatever.
Right. I like kosher salt just because that's what I use. So if you don't have kosher salt at home, if you just have table salt, you want to use half as much. The way that the grain structure is on kosher salt, it's like a flake. So when you measure it out, there's a lot of air pockets. So you end up using twice as much as you would for regular salt to get the same amount of saltiness.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, over to the phones we go, and let's go to Mark in Conway, Massachusetts. Mark.
Yes, hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, thank you. Mincemeat pie seems to be the talk of the day.
Well, there you go.
But, yeah, I have an interesting mincemeat pie story. Our local sportsman's club, we put on a game dinner every year for 150 people, and one year I made mincemeat pie out of beaver.
Oh, you're kidding me, right? Is this a setup to a joke?
No, it's not right. Honestly, yeah, I made it out of beaver. I used currants and apples, lots of brandy, and it was a huge hit. And there's a funny story that goes along with it.
Uh-oh.
There's a gentleman brought his son with him, and he and his wife had been separated, and the wife was not in favor of him bringing this young man to a game dinner because she didn't approve of it. But anyway, he brought a piece of the beaver mincemeat pie home with him and put it in the refrigerator at his mom's house. And we got up the next day. She ate the piece of pie not knowing what it was. And she said, well, I don't approve of what you did and where you went last night, but they sure make a good dessert anyway.
Ah, well, good. That's great. So what does it taste like? I mean, does it taste like venison or?
It does not, Ray. Beaver itself is a very dark meat and has a strong flavor. And the older the beaver, obviously, the more strong it's going to be. But it's not like you can say it tastes like chicken or anything like that. It has its own flavor. But when you throw a bunch of other ingredients in it, you can hide the flavor pretty good.
Very interesting. Well, great call, and thank you, and happy holidays to you. Deanna Fox is our guest. You know, it's the one pie you said you don't make.
Yeah.
And about 12 calls so far on mince pie.
And I don't personally know anybody who likes mincemeat pie. So I guess there's a lot of people out in the world who do.
Well, the one I had on Thanksgiving was really good, but there was no meat in that.
Yeah.
That I know of. I mean, maybe it was a surprise. Yeah. Maybe it was some beaver in it. 1-800-348-2551. Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling because my mother was a great pie maker, and all my life I've struggled to make good pies. Never came up to her standards. And so all my life I've been wondering where that saying, easy as pie, ever came from.
I have no idea. Maybe it's a misnomer. Maybe it's like one of those things that was meant to be a joke, and everyone
maybe
just took
so.
It literal.
Yeah. Maybe it's easy as eating pie, which is, it's fairly simple.
Yeah.
That's a good
point. It's a lot easier than making it.
Yeah, I think there's just, people get scared of pie, but I think there's just really just some good techniques that you just carry throughout whatever kind of pie you're making that will make your pie turn out good every time. So.
Yeah, well, I guess I refuse to use those Crisco-type shortenings, and that's what my mother made with her pie crust. It came out so light and delicate.
So what do you use for a fat in your pie crust?
Well, I've tried a variety of things, but butter is what I've mostly been using lately.
Deanna uses both. That
right.
caught me off guard.
Yeah. Do you feel like your pie crust is kind of tough?
Yeah, it's tough. But then I also tend to use whole grain flour, so
right. It
probably doesn't help.
Right. There's a lot of protein, a higher protein in a whole grain flour versus a pastry or an all-purpose, and that's part of it, too.
And they don't stick together that well. They end up kind of, falling apart when you're trying to roll them out.
Just give in. Just give in. Use the all-purpose.
You don't eat pie that often anyway.
That's
so,
right.
Okay.
Fair enough. Hey, Nancy, have a great holiday. Thanks for calling.
You too.
Bye now. Okay, so our crack producer just came in. This is from Wikipedia. As easy as pie is a popular colloquial idiom, which is used to describe a task or experience as pleasurable and simple. The idiom does not refer to the making of a pie, but rather to the act of consuming a pie, which is usually simple and pleasurable. So there you go.
You were right.
The phrase is often interchanged with a piece of cake.
There you go.
All right. Any more calls on mince pie? Let's find out. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Lynn in Shelburne. Lynn.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. You know me. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I know you're on the subject of meat. I bought a thing called Scrapple the other day. Just try it.
Okay.
And they say it's much better when you make it from the Penny Farmer book, but... I really, can make it for breakfast, and can I put it in a pie?
Can you put Scrapple in a pie? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I guess you could put anything in a pie. Try it.
That's a Pennsylvania thing, right?
Scrapple?
Yeah. Donahue talks about Scrapple. What is it again?
I think it's like, I don't really know exactly what's in Scrapple.
It's a bunch of innards.
Yeah.
Basically.
Fantastic.
With a lot of fat.
Not quite like a head cheese, but not far off.
Is there something I could mix it with to make a...
gin?
Mince meat pie.
I mean, why don't you, honestly, if you just look up a mincemeat pie recipe online and see what's in there and just whatever it recommends for the meat, substitute the scrapple and continue on with the rest of the ingredients and see how it turns out.
Yeah, hope for the best.
Thank you.
Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Well, the lines are loaded. There is actually one open line at this time. If you want to jump in now, jump in now, and we'll be back in a flash. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Sundog Cider at Solaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, qfcc.com. Shakespeare & Company, presenting It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, adapted by Joe Landry, from the screenplay by Frank Capra, Francis Goodrich, Albert Hackett, and Joe Swirling, playing through December 28th, Shakespeare.org. And Zen Mountain Monastery, outside of Woodstock, New York, presenting Introduction to Zen Training, a weekend retreat focusing on mindfulness and spiritual practice, zmm.mro.org.
Would you just look at that pie? Would you look at it? Now, Deanna, you just cut the apple pie, and tell us.
Yeah, it's an apple pie with a cheddar cheese crust. So right where I come from. So at the church dinners, when they would serve the pie, they would have the old church ladies with these trays of pie. They'd always have cheddar cheese on the side.
Yeah.
And if somebody would not take the cheddar, if they didn't know that that was protocol, essentially, you would just get like side eye or stink eye from the old church ladies. And my mom always says a pie without cheese is like a hug without a squeeze.
So you made this, you put the cheese, you built it in.
Yes. So you just make your regular pie crust, and then you just add in a cup of shredded cheddar cheese, and that's it.
Wow. All right. I'm going to cut that in a moment. Let's take another call, 1-800-348-2551. While I cut my piece of pie, let's go to Will in Del Mar. Will.
Yes, hi, thanks. I just pulled out of my cupboard a jar of mincemeat that I bought in Canada, and on the label it says beef tallow. I rather doubt that anybody's putting hunks of beef in mincemeat anymore, but they probably are using just the fat. And if you've ever had Yorkshire pudding, you know that beef tallow is really delicious.
It is.
What is beef tallow? Help me out here.
It's basically just like a fat.
Yeah, it's the fat from the beef, from the hunk of beef. It's what you know cooked off, and it's just like any other animal grease.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe if you don't have beef tallow, something that you can do. I know something that I always have on hand is bacon grease. So maybe you could put that in. With
but that's going to add a lot of salt.
It could, yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, but if you cook a steak or something like that, and you don't trim it excessively, you're going to get some nice beef tallow in your pan.
Yes.
All right. Will, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Juanita in Montague, New Jersey. Nice to hear from New Jersey today. You're on.
Hi. I'm fourth oldest of 18. And we lived across the street from my grandmother, who did all the baking.
Yeah.
And every Thanksgiving and Christmas, she would make 7 pumpkin pies and 2 mincemeat, because the mincemeat pie was more like an adult pie,
mm-hmm.
and the kids didn't like it very much. But I like it. And her crust she made with lard, and they were very flaky and delicious.
Is that the same as shortening?
No, lard is...
Yeah, her shortening, instead of using butter, she used lard.
Mm-hmm. So lard...
Instead of Crisco.
Right, lard is an animal byproduct.
Yeah.
So right.
It's basically rendered
fat. So shortening is vegetable.
And shortening is hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Okay, very good.
And it was quite tasty. They were very flaky and good.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye. It's Food Friday on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here, and her blog is Silly Goose Farm, And it's a good read. And the Twitter feed, which you've just changed now.
I did.
Okay, so the new Twitter feed is?
Deanna N. Fox.
And you spell Deanna with two N's.
Yes, DEANNANFOX.
And always some good food pictures. If you want to get hungry, follow Deanna. So this is great. You can really taste the cheddar in this crust. Very nice work.
Thank you.
Over to Rachel in New Paltz. Rachel.
Hi. I'm calling because this is a wonderful show. I love pie. And I discovered when I got my KitchenAid processor a fantastic no-fail pie crust recipe that is 1 1/4 cups of, and I use anything I want. So if somebody's gluten, it needs to be gluten-free, I use whatever they want. And I, but often pastry flour, and then 1 stick of butter, and 1/4 cup of ice water, and just a pinch of salt or a little sugar if I want the crust to be sweet. And the thing about it is that I make sure that everything is really cold, and that when I process it, the first processing, I do it by pulsing so it doesn't get too heavy. And when I take it out, it's like little beads. And I put it directly in wax paper, and I use my wrist as fast as possible to get it into a disc and stick it in the fridge. And I've just had great pie crust ever since I found this recipe. So I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, that's actually, you make a couple of really good points. So you can use a food processor to make your pie dough, and it usually turns out great. The one thing you do have to be careful of is when that blade spins around, it creates heat. So anytime that you try to chill all of your ingredients, you could be counteracting it. So just make sure you do pulses. The other thing is those little tiny beads that you're talking about, they're essentially little balls of fat. So whatever you're using, you said butter. So little beads of butter surrounded by little particles of flour. And when that bakes, it's going to create all those flakes because they're just going to evaporate and like pop off. And that's how you get those pockets of air that create flakes in your pie dough. So that's a really great technique.
Great. Well, thanks.
Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. Vox Pop here on a Food Friday. We've been talking about the pie show for many weeks in the newsroom, and there are several people in the newsroom who are waiting to get their chance, and they have to wait a bit longer. Let's go over to Dan in Newfane, Vermont. Dan.
Hi. Hey, I would just like to put in a plug for whole spelt flour. You know, spelt has a different gluten content than wheat, and it's more like so whole spelt flour is kind of like a pastry flour in feel and the way it works. And that and butter make an excellent pie crust, basically every time. It's almost foolproof.
Right. So the thing with gluten and pie dough is it's kind of like the enemy of pie, because that's how you get like a really tough.
Gluten is the enemy of pie?
Yeah. You want to have a gluten you want to have enough gluten where it's going to actually hold things together. But if you go with like a whole wheat has a lot of gluten in it, you're just going to end up with a really tough pie dough. So that's why you see some recipes for pie dough that call for vodka or vinegar or lemon juice. Vodka will prevent gluten from forming, and it evaporates. It kind of does its job when it's baking and then just disappears, so you don't taste it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with an acid like a vinegar or a lemon juice prevents gluten. So that's how you get those really tender pie crust.
But the spelt actually has less gluten, so it doesn't.
Right.
It makes a great crust without having to do those. I'd never heard of the vodka. I'll definitely check that out.
Right. So like that's why some people recommend you use pastry flour because it has a lower gluten content. I think like you're saying with the spelt.
Okay. Great call. Dan, thank you very much. Well, this flat now, first of all, what apples are in this apple pie?
These are Cortland's.
Perfect choice
for
this. How do you get, if you put cheese in a dough, how do you get it to stay flaky?
I mean, it still stays flaky. It's still, you cut it right into your dry ingredients right when you do the butter or the shortening or lard, whatever you're doing. And it kind of... It doesn't really create a lot of flakes because it's kind of melting through.
Yeah.
But it just gives it such a nice mouth feel.
It sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
And a nice taste.
It is true. Chris in Chicopee. Chris.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
And I'm asking the question about I did have to make gluten free pie crust for Thanksgiving, and
okay.
It acts totally differently than regular pie crust. It was more like the texture of a sugar cookie. And it was very difficult to roll out. It tasted wonderful. And I used the food processor and the vodka and all that stuff. And I used a commercial one-to-one gluten-free flour. But do you have any hints on what can make it more act like a regular pie crust?
Well, the gluten. So the gluten kind of holds everything together, too. So the reason that it's crumbling is because nothing is kind of forming
right.
together. It's not kind of knitting itself together,
mm-hmm.
weaving itself together. But are you're making your dough and then you're chilling it in the fridge?
Yes.
Okay. You could let it come to temperature a little bit. You could pull it out of the fridge and let it sit for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And that the butter, are you using butter or shortening?
Butter and a little bit of shortening.
Yeah, the butter will kind of melt and it might help everything kind of stick together a little bit better.
Okay, great, great. And the filling that I made, one of them was traditional pecan, but the other one was a garnet yam and delicata squash pie.
That sounds great.
Mm.
Oh, it was great. And I put chili powder in it.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Fresh ginger and chili powder. And it was one of those flavors that, what did you put in that?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
It was really different, but it came out fabulous. Very labor-intensive, but really good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go Hugh in Lake Luzerne. Hugh.
Hello, sir. I just have a brief anecdote about my grandmother. She always had two lovely pies for every gathering. Double crust. One had the letters TM pricked on the top crust. The other had the letters TM pricked on the top crust. Hey, Grandma, what's that TM for? Oh, that's Tis Mince. And the other one, Taint Mince.
All right.
So you had to dig in and find out.
Well, thanks a lot for that. And how's the weather up there today?
Passable for once.
Yeah. How much snow did you get in Lake Luzerne?
Oh, probably 15 inches. Yes. Anyway, I had to pay my neighbor a lot this week.
Wow. Well,
to shovel me out.
Well, I'm glad you made it through. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a great holiday. 1-800-348-2551. Got to try the savory one. Should we?
Go for it.
All right. Now, what is in this?
So this is pumpkin.
Okay.
Goat cheese. I think I put some shallots in there, some rosemary, thyme, and then there's sesame seeds on top.
Wow.
It's different, right?
No, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I should have had it before all the sweet pies. This is really delicious.
Thank you.
So it pumpkin, shallot.
Goat cheese.
Yeah, the goat cheese really gives it body, and it's
yeah. Oh, and a little garlic. But these are great because they're small hand pies, so you can make them and bake them, and then put them out for a party. And whatever doesn't get eaten, you can freeze. They freeze really well.
And even the beautiful flakiness will be maintained after you freeze it.
Yeah, I feel like they actually get flakier after you bake them a second time.
All right, let's go over to Joan in Glens Falls. Hiya, Joan. You're on.
Hi. I have not heard you mention green tomato mincemeat pie, which is made from green tomatoes. I used to grow my own, and you have to can it yourself. I've never seen it on the shelf.
I've never even heard of it, to be honest.
Green tomato mincemeat pie is a very old recipe that came from a lady in the Adirondack Mountains. Mm. And it's her recipe to the best of my knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I had to can my own. I grew my own tomatoes, canned it and everything in order to have it. It's the only mincemeat pie I could eat. I couldn't stand the regular one at first.
It sounds like one of those recipes out of necessity. Like it never got warm enough for the tomatoes to ripen.
I have a suspicion that is exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Joan. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
You know, it's Adrian and New Paltz' fault. you know, this happens on Vox Pop. Often, you get a call, say we're doing the science form. Someone will call and say, you know, why does my laundry smell clean if it's hung outside?
Mm-hmm.
And then 50 calls about that topic.
Yes.
People get interested. So here's the one pie that you have never made.
Yes.
And we're fielding
talking about it all day.
Yeah. I had a guy who did sports. I think he's over in the Troy Record now, mm-hmm. but Mark McGuire from the TU.
Yes.
So he was on and we were doing a sports show. And he knows baseball, he knows mm-hmm. basketball, he knows football, he knows hockey. We ended up taking curling questions.
Yes.
And the look on Mark's face, it was priceless. And sort of similar to what you have.
Right? Yes.
Let's go to Catherine in Salisbury. Catherine.
Oh, hi. What a great show. Boy, do I wish I were there eating.
Oh, you don't know the half of it.
I am jealous. I have kind of a grandmother into pie crust story. I grew up very luckily in my childhood. I loved visiting my grandmother, and she would take the linoleum cloth off the kitchen table, come with a container of flour, and just throw everything on this clean wooden table, and you ended up with pie or cake or whatever it was going to be. Just delicious. So I grew up with no fear of trying anything. Good ingredients, you end up with a good product. She was a Crisco and lard person, and I'm not. I had some training in French culinary, so I stay with butter. And I lately have been doing a lot of pies, and I've been shocked with how humbly I say, very flaky and so on, they've turned out. So with nothing but butter, I'm using about a cup and a quarter of all-purpose flour, and it's white whole wheat flour. Mm. And a pinch of salt. If it's for a sweet pie, I just throw in maybe a tablespoon of sugar. I use an egg yolk and then a little bit of water. I do it in the Cuisinart. The butter, it's a stick of butter. It's very, very cold. And I would hold these up to my grandmother's pie crust, and that's saying a lot. So
right. Well, your egg yolk trick is actually a really good one. Some people will just put an egg yolk in. It has lecithin in it. It's a natural mm-hmm. source of lecithin, and yeah. that kind of keeps things kind of pliable. So when you have all that butter in there, you know, it sounds like you have a really high butter ratio happening, which could make yeah. your pie crumble. But because you added that egg yolk in, it'll keep it kind of pliable. And it also helps it get nice and golden when you bake it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. And without the little sugar in it, it's really, really excellent for a savory, too. And depending on how cold the butter is and what the temperature is and humidity and whatever, I can sometimes roll it right out or I'll chill it a little bit. And the other thing that I notice for not getting it soggy, something you said before that I didn't know that was the reason, but it's so true that if I freeze the crust and then bake it, mm-hmm. I don't get that sogginess.
Right. Another really good tip to keep your bottom crust from getting soggy, especially with like a fruit-filled pie, is what I do. I take 2 tablespoons of white sugar and I dump it, just sprinkle it across the bottom of the pie, uh-huh. on the inside bottom, not on the pie tin, and yeah. then put my filling in, and that keeps it crisp. It almost caramelizes on the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What about egg white? Do I remember my grandmother doing egg white for some reason on the bottom crust also for the same reason?
It might be. I've never done that, but it could be.
No, me neither. All
thanks,
right.
Catherine.
I'm going to try your sugar, though. Thank you. What a wonderful show, and I can't wait to start that with the pumpkin.
And try some mince pie while you're at it.
Oh, I've made mince pie.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I've used the canned stuff, and you have to use a little more booze.
Yeah. Well, that always helps.
And, you know, if you have enough booze, people will eat anything, right?
Right. And you don't even care if you bake the pie. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Quickly, Deanna in Lake George. You're on with Deanna Fox. You only have about 30 seconds to ask a question, however.
Okay. It's Leanna. And I've had great luck for the last 40 years using an oil pastry because it's fast and easy and a no-brainer for people like me.
Right. I've seen people who use oil as well. Is it flaky?
Instead of being flaky, it's more short. It's very tender and short as right. opposed to flaky, but everyone raves about it.
Good job. And you're the last one today. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
So you mentioned learning at the feet of your neighbor. How long mm-hmm. did it take you before you said, I have this?
Literally like a pie a week for a year.
And now you have it.
Yeah, once you know what you're doing and you have an understanding, pie is pretty easy.
Okay, so we're going to do the show every week, every Friday from now on.
Well, today was the mincemeat pie show, so we'll do pumpkin next week or something.
I guarantee you, if you bring mincemeat pie, no one will ask about it. So, hey, thanks so much for being here. The blog, once again, is Silly Goose Farm. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much, Deanna Fox. Thanks to everybody who called in today, and support comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Ackerman's Appliance, Hudson, for 37 years, a locally owned dealer of appliance brands such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Blue Star, Bosch, and more. Showroom on Warren Street, ackermansappliance.net. And Fidelis Care, you could see all the staff now waiting for the pie. Fidelis Care, wishing WAMC listeners a holiday season filled with good health, happiness, and joy. FideliscCare.org. Okay, all you rabid animals waiting for the pie, it's about, there they are. It's time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Zach Malloy, you stay at the controls. We'll make sure you get a piece of pie. And thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back on Monday for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for a news update.